You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Because you have not, because you ask not, so we ask and seek and knock. If we know what we're supposed to be doing. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 24. If you're new here and you've been here for like 3-4 weeks and you're like, who are you? I am the lead pastor here. Been out for a few weeks. Sermon planning retreat. I do that twice a year. Go up into the mountains, get the stone tablets, you know, come back down. And then we had a special speaker a few weeks ago. And then a couple weeks ago, Miss Robin had knee replacement surgery. And so I've been taking care of my first ministry responsibility, which is ministering to my dear spouse. And yes, clap for me. Yay. And I've been doing an amazing job, if I do say so myself. You're like, well, that sounds braggadocious. No, it's true. Totally true. But there's another ulterior motive as well. I mean, I want to take good care of her. You know, she's my sweetheart. We've been married 46 years. And so I want to take care of her. But in like August, I'm having knee replacement surgery. So I want to set the benchmark high, you know what I'm saying? So I'm being good. But as she went into surgery, I was concerned. I wasn't concerned about the, you know, the surgery itself. I was more concerned about the anesthesia junk because that's some wicked stuff. And I've had some bad experiences of my own. A couple years ago, those of you who've been around, I got bacterial meningitis and I almost died. Yes. So I was basically in a coma. They said if I had not, well, I didn't go, volunteer to go. I fought against it, and then Johnny and my wife and Johnny's wife, Aubrey, basically threw me into the car and got me to the ER. If I'd not done that, if I'd just gone back to bed, I would not be here. So it was bad, and I woke up not being able to hear, and I've lost 2/3 of my hearing. But the worst part about that to me that I remember were the crazy dreams. The stinking crazy dreams. I don't know what they used, but I was hopped up on some weird juice. And they were scared. They were weird. They were graphic. I mean, they were scary. And I was paranoid. They tell me I was really paranoid. Those drugs and those dreams made me paranoid. And I remember, you know, kind of coming in to some sense of realizing where I was, but remembering those dreams. And it was like multiple nights vividly. I hated going to sleep. Because of that, it was honestly scary, freaky stuff. And I would wake up and go, what? Because I remember specifically, and it was weird purple haze stuff. What does that mean? I mean, it was almost like I was there. It was that real. Our boy Nebuchadnezzar, in our passage here in Daniel chapter 2, did I tell you to turn there? I didn't. Daniel chapter 2, verse 24. Daniel is basically like I was. He's lying on his bed, got his satin sheets and his MyPillow, and turns on his CPAP and drifts happily off to sleep. And then in the middle of the night, like Pastor Dan said last week, he basically has a nightmare, and it's vivid. He can remember every detail. He's like, but he's blown away. And he woke up a lot like I did. What in the world was that? That's got to mean something. What in the world? So he gets his wise men, you know, his sorcerers, astrologers, all these pagans, and they're supposed to, you know and communicate with the gods and all that. And he's like, I'm going to bring them in, but I know they're scallywags, and they will just tell me what they think I want to hear, probably. And so I'm not only going to tell them to decipher the dream, I'm going to tell them to describe the dream. I'm not even going to tell them a dream. I'm going to say, if you guys are real, then you can tell me what I dreamed, and then you tell me what it means. And they're like, nobody can do that. And he's like, okay, well, if you can't, I'm going to kill you. And I'll kill all y'all. And there was a bunch of them. Now, some of you have bad bosses, but you don't have Nebuchadnezzar bosses. Amen? Have to go to work worrying about getting killed? But long story short, his muckety-muck main wise men can't. And so the king basically says, kill them, off with their heads. But first, while they're still alive, tear off their, you know, put them between two horses or whatever, tear off their arms and their legs, and then if they're still alive, pop off their heads, and then go tear down their houses and kill their families. And Daniel and his buds, they aren't in the top level echelon wise men, but they have been groomed. Remember, they're Hebrews. And they had been groomed for 3 years to be a part of the wise men, group. And so they weren't even here. They weren't even there when the king is laying this out. But they hear about it. They come to his house and say, yeah, we got to kill you. And he's like, wait, let me pray. Let me and my buddies pray. We're going to fast and pray because I'm sure God will give us the answer. And so they pray. And you know, he doesn't, you know, like many of us, we would, what would we do? That's not fair. I'm new here. I'm not an upperclassman. I'm a freshman. Freshman astrologer. And I'm going to organize a protest. I'm going to get some printed signs and some T-shirts. No kings. That's what I'm going to do. But he prays. Daniel prays. And like we've been talking about, prayer is important. Prayer is a commandment. But especially when you need wisdom. If you need wisdom, did Daniel need wisdom? Oh, yeah. What are you supposed to do? Ask. Say it louder. Ask, because real prayer is asking. If you say you pray and you don't ask, you haven't prayed. Sorry. You might have praised. Nothing wrong with praising. You might have talked, you know, to God, but prayer, the very word prayer, means asking. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, and it'll be given to you, right? Continually. So praying is doing what? Asking. And so if you need wisdom, every time one of you comes up to me in the foyer, no lie, you come up. Now, if you just say, hey, I'm like, hey. But if you say, hey, I've got a question, I just have trained myself because I know I'm sometimes, you know, not real smart. I say, Lord, give me wisdom. Because I got no idea. Some of you bring me some really weird stuff. All right? Just out of left field stuff. I'm like, oh, dear God. So I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom. Because I don't want to answer them, you know, according to John Houston. Ask our generous God, and he will do what? He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Somebody like, well, I don't know if I should bother God. Then you... Your God is really small, wee little God. Because you think God up in heaven, and I love you, but let me help you. God's up in heaven going, oh man, I got a phone call over here from the Pope, and oh my goodness, oh, I got, you know, Billy Graham's son on the line over here. Oh, there's some politicians. Oh my. God can take care of all of it, talk to all of us at the same time, and play nine-dimensional chess. So, he commands us to pray. And as you saw last week, God specifically answered Daniel and his buddies' prayers. Amen. He gives Daniel the dream, what the dream is. And so Daniel goes into a praise fest that Pastor Dan read to you last week. Pick it up in verse 24. And by the way, in the Blue Bibles, it's page 823. If you don't have a Bible, you ought to grab that Blue Bible. I was just informed by some of our folks that... they have a new printing. So some of you, it's page 823, and some of you, it's page 8. I got no clue. So just 823 will get you close. All right? Daniel 2 and verse 24. You're there? Say I'm there. Really? Are you there? Say I'm there. Okay. All right, verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch. Who's Arioch? Whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He's the executioner. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I'll show the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel to the king in haste and said thus to him. Now I want you to circle that next word. Look at this dog. I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. He's trying to take credit for it. Loser. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. They had, remember, changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar. Are you able to make known to me the dream? that I have seen in its interpretation? And Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, none of these dudes, not me, enchanters, magicians, astrologers, can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. Now underline this, but there is a God in heaven. Amen? There's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he, circle he, has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in the bed are these to you, O king. As you lay in the bed came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries had made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Now, I love Daniel's humility. I love his humility. He could have, and I guarantee you a lot of men of God would, and I've seen them. I years ago got this, and I quit using this evangelist because I kept getting his stuff, and it was always pictures of him in his best preaching poses. And all these people, the whole thing was him, numbers. How many folks? You know, it was just like, man, you know, have you mentioned Jesus once in your little pamphlet? And so I just quit using him, God love him. You're judging. Yes, I was, and I'm correct. Stay in your Bible. In verse 26, go back there. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I've seen in its interpretation? Daniel answered and said, no wise man, enchanter, magician, astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked, but there, say it with me, is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he's made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. By the way, be here next week. We're going to talk about the prophecy, how it all fits together, all right? But that's the title of today's message, but there is a God in heaven. And he wants me to know and do his will. And man, you need to get that. You need to get that. Some of you are going through the hell phase of life right now, the hellish phase at least. And more than anything, when Satan, whatever it is you're going through, some of you is relational, some of you is physical, some of you is financial. But more than anything, when Satan is, because I know what he does, because he does it to me, Satan comes and sidles alongside you and whispers into your ear, where's God now? Where's God now? If God is there, then what is he doing? If God loves you, why is he letting you go through this? You need the faith to face him straight on and say, if not shout in his face, I might be going through hell on earth. I might be at the end of my rope. I might have questions myself, but there is a God in heaven. There is. And I know him, and I'm his child. Now, track with me. Some of you haven't internalized this. Our God, the God of heaven, the God in heaven, he's not just the creator of the universe. See, some of us don't realize how big God is. Some of us, your God kind of fits inside this room on Sunday, and that's about it. You don't really visit him. Every week you come and you visit him, and you're like, hey. It's a lot bigger than that, a lot bigger than this room. Colossians lays it out. By the way, after the book of Daniel, we'll probably go into the book of Colossians, spend about 20 weeks in that. Love the book of Colossians, for by him, this is talking about Jesus, by the way, specifically Jesus. By him, all things were created. How many things? All things. By who? By Jesus. We're created, not evolved, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He's the creator, but he's not just the creator. He's also, and we're going to look at this next week, he's the kingdom maker and the kingdom breaker. He continues, all things were created by him in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things, how many things? All things were created through him and what? For him. For him. It's all about Jesus. For his will. That's what he created everything for. Rulers, nations, worlds, universes, you. Get this, and you've got to get this. Our God has a specific will for every pagan king and every personal kid. A specific will, not just for big muckety mucks, but for little old you. And the very cool thing is about our Heavenly Father, and this is what we're going to look at today, He wants to reveal His will to us. He wants to show us His will for our lives. Maybe not the whole thing like He's going to do for Nebuchadnezzar. He lays out a whole lot more than He probably will lay out for you. But He wants to clue you in on what He's doing. He didn't want you to run around dumb or like, oh, no, no. 33 times in this short little chapter, we see words like this, the interpretation. Let me give you the interpretation. God is revealing. God makes known. 33 times, it's talking about God showing this pagan dude what His will is for the pagan dude. That's what God's doing for a pagan who up to this point didn't believe in Him at all, thought He was an inferior God, the Hebrew God, who obviously is not as big as my Babylonian gods, because my Babylonian gods allowed us to conquer the Hebrews and take all of their holy stuff out of their holy house, and I've got it in my pagan house. So that must not be much of a God. God said, you don't know, bud, and you're about to find out. God was positioning Nebuchadnezzar to do His will, and He was letting the pagan king in on it. Now listen to me, folks. Our God is not glorified when His kids wander around aimlessly, cluelessly, living lives of randomness. And some of you, that's you. I love you, but you're somewhat clueless about this thing. You might be smart. You might have degrees behind your name. You might have a big position at work, but you are basically clueless about why you're here, what God has for you, what God is, where God is directing you. Some of you, many of you, you're not fulfilling God's will for your life because mainly because you have no clue what God's will is for your life. And you can know. He wants you to know. You're not going to probably know 20 years out, but you can know the next step or the next several steps. Well, John, I want to know what God's will is for my life. But man, dude, it's confusing. It's confusing. No, and can I be honest with you folks without hurting your feelings? Three of you said yes. Come on, come on. I mean, I'm going to say it whether you get your feelings hurt or not, but you know that. All right, here's the reason why many of you don't know the will of God for your lives and you're Christians. Oh, there's two reasons. One, you're a brand new baby Christian and you don't have any time invested to be able to know, okay? But if you've been a Christian any length of time, the reason you don't understand the will of God for your life is because you're lazy. You're lazy. It's true. What do you mean? What do you mean, John? You know I am mad. 9/10 of God's will is found in His word. 9/10. Now I'm just ballparking, but about 9/10 of God's will is found in His word. You don't need to guess. You don't even need to pray. It's right there. He tells it's all the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. That clears away about 9/10 of the things. He tells you, you know, hey, well, I'm thinking about having adultery. I wonder if I should do that. Oh, no. Guess not. Except some of you went and had adultery because you're like, I didn't know. Well, you're stupid. I love you. You're stupid. Okay? Can I get real with you? All right, three of you. Okay. If you don't know the 9/10 that He's revealed, He's gone out of His way to reveal, you don't, that's on you. That's on you. It's not on me. We preach the Word of God here. We preach through whole books of the Bible. We went through Genesis, right? We've gone through what? Esther and 1 Corinthians years ago and Ephesians. And we lay it out for you word by word. We break it down until some of you are like, okay, keep going. Move on. But that's on you. What do you mean? Now stick with me here, all right? Some of you who are mad at me, you know I'm telling the truth. And I'll tell you why. Because you can find out basically about anything you want to. Well, John, I don't have all those deep, you know, degrees like you got. I don't have a big library, and I don't have Bible software. You know, when you want to know something, you know what you do? I know, most of you. You got Grok, ChatGPT, Siri, whatever you want to give you the info. Boom, like that. Siri, what's the forecast this week? You don't have to turn on Wavy TV 10 anymore. Siri, bam, 10 days. Grok, who hit the most home runs in 1976? Boom. Siri, can I feed week-old chicken out of my refrigerator to my little kittens? And the answer is yes. So you know how they find information. How about this? Grok, Siri, whatever. Find me all the passages in the Word of God that contain the words will of God. And I'm not a big fan of Siri and all those things. Matter of fact, last night, when I said, Siri, do this, Siri, do that, one dude's pocket started talking. It did. He came up and apologized afterwards. I'm sorry, that was me. That was my phone. You said Siri, and Siri said, yes, may I help you? Siri, find me all the passages in the Word of God about the will of God. With the words, the will of God. And Siri will find, not your Bible software program or a good concordance, but hey, you've got to, in other words, folks, you can do this. You already do it. You just don't do it about things that are important. Amen. This is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires as his will all people to be what? Saved. What is God's number one will? That you don't go to hell. That you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That you realize that he came down living a perfect, sinless life and then went to the cross, not for his sins, but for my sins and for your sins, and then went to the grave for 3 days and three nights and then was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit over the grave and now is in heaven and has bought on the cross with his shed blood your forgiveness, my forgiveness. And if we say yes to that, we don't try to work for it, be religious for it. We just say yes to Jesus. Bam, we are now on our way to heaven. We are saved. Amen. And so, that's God's will. Some of you don't know. You're not even there. That's the number one. That's the big one. You need to get that. But then there's others. There's a ton. I just picked a few. All right. Rejoice, how? Huh? Pray, huh? Without ceasing. Give thanks in what? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for who? You. I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't care. That's the will of God. Well, how can I rejoice when I got bills that I can't pay and I got a bad toenail? Because you should be on your way to hell. And you ain't because you trusted Jesus. So you can rejoice about that, amen? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A grumpy Christian is a horrible advertisement for Jesus. Some of you, the reason you can't reach your coworkers is because you got the RBF at the workplace. And you know you do. What does that mean, John? I don't know. I just saw it on ChatGPT. God, look at that. God's will. Starts out. God's will is for you to be what? Holy. Oh, so guess what? Stay away from how much sexual sin? All sexual sin. It's God's will. If you're here shacking up, having sex with whoever that is not your spouse, you are not living in God's will, simple as that. Oh, well, we're just saving money until we can get married. No, you are sinning. You are committing fornication, the Bible calls it. And you are not in God's will. Well, yeah, get him, Pastor John. Get him, Pastor John. Okay, how about your porn? Hmm? This is when all the guys start looking down at their feet. Hmm. Beautiful feet. God's will is for you to be holy. So if you're not being holy in that department, then you are not living in God's will. Therefore, don't be foolish. Now, you could also say in different places in the Bible, in different versions, it says stupid. I know some of you don't like that. I would never say that word. Well, that's you. Don't be foolish, don't be stupid, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you don't understand what the will of the Lord is, you are at least what? foolish, if not stupid. King David prayed, Lord, teach me to do your will. It's something that has to be taught and learned. And he says, he prays it, Lord, give me your wisdom, give me your will. You have not because you ask not. So I get in his word, it has 9/10 of everything I need to understand about what God wants for me, his will for me, his specific will in my life. Quit being lazy, people. Quit being lazy. But John, I don't have enough time. Here's something, you ought to write this down, this is deep. We have enough time to do what we want. We do. I just don't have enough time, but you doom scroll on your phone for several hours a day. You know you do. Or you binge on Netflix. Are you telling me to throw away my TV? It'd probably help you. Seriously, I grew up without a TV for years and years and years, and didn't hurt me at all. And we went years and years after we were married without a TV. Now we have a TV. And honestly, it could be a time waster. But we don't watch a whole lot. But I tell you what, if I'm not spending time in the Word of God, then I need to cut something back because the Word of God is the priority. So I'm not asking you to quit binging your Netflix thing. I'm saying instead of doing 4 a night, try 3 or 2. Then spend the rest of the time, that half hour, an hour, or whatever, in the Word of God. And find the will of God for your life. Because you're wasting your life. And I, again, this affects us all. I have something I've recently added to my morning prayers because I am, this is just me being transparent, easily distracted. I am very easily distracted. I do not work on sermons here at the church. Well, John, you got a nice office. Yeah, I know. Can't use it for that. Have to use it totally for administration. Why? Because I need to focus. That's why I'm out on the farm. I'm looking into the field out through the window there with my dogs, and sometimes they're a distraction, so I put them in the yard and get out of here. And then I'm spending time with God because in the office, there's so much going on, and we're all good friends and stuff. And then if I hear somebody through the door going, ha, 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 I'm like, hey, what was that? Did I miss that joke? Distracted. So I'm easily distracted. And so I added something to the text that I pray through. Every day I pray through actually verse 10 through 14, but just narrowing it down on this, Philippians 3 is a huge passage, man, awesome passage. And Paul is saying, he says, this one thing I do, I talk about prioritizing God's will, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. That's not the one thing. He says, well, I'm doing the one thing, I'm doing this. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And what I've recently, maybe this will help you, maybe not, what I've recently started praying, because these are my weaknesses, if you will, is that I can easily procrastinate. And I can easily piddle with things that might seem important but aren't really. And I can easily plod. And I need to press. Because I am praying and I'm asking. Now, God might kill me this afternoon, and if he wants to, that's cool, because I'll be in heaven and I won't miss y'all at all. But I want God to give me, and I've told you this, 10 more years, Lord, give me 10 more years. I'm 67 years old now. I want 10 more years. 10 more good years, and I don't have to, you know, I can kind of go down a little bit, you know, not preach quite as much, but I want 10 more good years to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, so I can break the tape, running as fast as I can like stinking sea biscuit at the end of the race. That's what I want to be. I don't want to piddle. I don't want to procrastinate. I don't want to plod and give it to my flesh, I will. And I'll waste portions of my life. God wants to reveal his specific will to his kids. He does. Ephesians 1:9, he says, God is making known to us the mystery of his will according to his what? He has a purpose for you people, which he sets forth in Christ. We're going to talk about that, being in Jesus later on. Now you're like, okay, John, I get that, and that's cool. And I understand the 9/10 things, you know? I mean, it tells me about marriage, you know, I'm supposed to, as a Christian, only marry another Christian. I get that. And it tells me that, you know, I'm not supposed to, you know, be lusting or whatever, and I'm not supposed to be lying, I'm not supposed to be coveting, so that's God's will, so I'm, okay, that helps to kind of focus me and put me on the right path. But John, what happens when things he hasn't said? The 10% in here that really impacts my life heavy. Things like who I'm supposed to marry. I mean, God did not put in there, thou shalt marry Bethann and prosper with her. Right? Didn't say that. Or what major I should take in college, or what job I should say yes to or no to. How can I find the will of God in those areas of my life? Turn quickly to Romans 12. Passage, probably one of my top three passages I love. I pray it every morning, and you'll see why. Page 1049 in the Blue Bible, or somewhere close to that. Or Romans 12, 1 and 2. When you're there, say, I'm there. All right, I'll wait a little bit. Here's what works for me. This is what I believe God is commanding. And that is this, that I seek his will every day. That I present myself to his will every single day. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I appeal. Now, Paul is basically saying, I beg you, man. Come on, I'm begging you. To you, therefore, brothers. But, and what he's done here is, therefore, he has spent the first 11 chapters telling about how we were on our way to hell, how we deserved hell, and how he paid our hell for us, and then how he reached us, and how he predestined us, and elected us, and then drew us to himself. And he finishes all that in chapter 11, and he makes this transition in chapter 12, and I love it. He says, because of all that huge, deep theological stuff, I appeal to you, therefore, because of that, brothers, by the mercies of God, because he's been so merciful to you, you deserved hell and he paid your hell for you, and all of the other mercies, here's what I want you to do. Present your bodies. Put a number one right up there as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice that you do one time, but a living that you do every day. Holy, that means set apart to God only. Acceptable, that means, and I pray it this way, Lord, help my presentation of myself be acceptable, top shelf, first fruits, best of me, not the scraplings of my life. Some of you give God the scraplings of your life. You don't give him the first fruit. You don't give him the best. You give him the leftovers. Some of you in your giving, that's now, you're like, well, you must be behind the budget. We had the biggest offering we've ever had, I think, last week. Woo! Yeah, I mean, it's like, bam, yeah. At least in a one Sunday. And I wasn't even here preaching. Dan's taking credit for it. you present, that's why I believe in tithing. It's the first fruits. It's the first fruits. It's taught all through the Word of God. But so I pray, Lord, I pray that I am going to present my body, which that in the Greek means body, soul, spirit, as a living sacrifice, holy to you alone, acceptable, best of, to God, which is your what? Spiritual worship. Oh, man, I had a good time at worship service today. I got a buzz. My hair stood up. It was wonderful. I sang. Okay, maybe you can worship in the music, and I hope you do, but you can also do music without any worship. Some of you did that just a few minutes ago. No worship at all. Worship is not a buzz. It's cool when the buzz is there. Worship is me submitting every part of myself to God. Worship, my favorite worship passage in the whole Word of God is not even here. This is the second. My favorite one is Job. When Job loses his kids, they're killed. He loses his businesses. They're stolen. He loses his health. He loses his relationship with his wife. And now he's got all these sores all over his body, and he falls face down in the dirt. And he said, and the Bible says he fell face down and worshiped God, saying, naked I came into this world, and naked I'll return. The Lord is given, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is worship. When everything's going to crap, and you still say, God, I'm trusting you because there is a God in heaven. And you told me to pray. And I don't like this, but Lord, I am seeking your will, your spiritual worship. Then he says, all right, so number one, present your bodies. And then number two, hit the wrong button. Run for your lives. Number two, don't be conformed. And this is different color because it's in the imperative. It's a command. Don't be conformed to this world. Number three, and what is not being conformed to this world? I pray this. Lord, help me not to be a worldly pastor. Help me not to be a worldly father. Help me not to be a worldly grandfather. God, help me to be yours. Help me to be given over to you. Don't let me do it out of my flesh. Don't be conformed to this world. That will affect a lot of things in your life, your music, what you watch, where you go. But be transformed. Say transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the what? Will of God. There's how you find the will of God. You present your body. You don't be conformed to this world. You say, God, change me. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Show me where I'm conforming to the world. Help me to get back on track. And then transform me, Lord, in and through your word and by your spirit. And then he says, you do that and I'll show you my will for your life. But it just doesn't come down on golden tablets. And you go, okay, John, I get that God is starting, and he's going to start guiding me if I make it a habit, and you ought to make it a habit, folks. Let me just Romans 12, 1 and 2, open your Bible and personalize it. Pray it and personalize it and see what God starts doing. Just present yourself. I mean, really mean it. Don't do it if you don't mean it. But I get that God, okay, he'll start guiding me. He'll start, you know, putting me on track. That's cool. But what about those sudden major decisions, John, that come out of left field, or those ones that, you know, they're the one-tenth that God doesn't talk about in his word? Let me show you how I've made every major decision in my life, major ones. I don't do it for, you know, where should I go to the restaurant? I don't do this. Minor decisions. But these major ones, I've used this. It's really Romans 12 focused like a laser in my specific scenario and decision. And so it's seeking God's will in major decisions. The four lights. What are the four lights, John? And this is not mine. I stole this back when I was a young pastor. I came across it from a guy named George Mueller. Some of you have heard about him. He's 1800s. You know, he's been dead a long time. And he had a ministry. He started a ministry to orphans in London, England. And if you remember, you know, the movies, you know, Tiny Tim and not even Tiny Tim, what's the other one? I forget, Oliver Twist or whatever, with these orphans that are out there, and they're, you know, more, sir. And they were dying, and there were just tons of them, and no church seemed to be really doing anything. So he felt called of God. It was God's will for him to start an orphanage. It started small and it started growing. And he said, but one thing I'm never going to do is take an offering. I'm never going to ask for a penny. And his pastor friends are like, dude, you're crazy, man. He's like, no. If this is of God, then I've, you know, God's going to take care of it. And he has huge, you ought to read about him. He had huge, amazing answers to prayer. And so as I'm reading, because I'm reading, like, how did he pray? And I'm reading that. And then it comes across how to discern God's will. He had these lights. But he only had three. And I've, if, you know, hopefully he won't get mad at me in heaven, I've added the fourth because I think he missed it. And you'll see why in a second. But back in the days before sonar, they had these fjords up in the Scandinavian countries, and there's a village at the end, and these ships would come in to do trade. But underneath, you know, these are deep, so it goes down. But underneath, there's also mountains that come up, and sometimes you can see them, but other times they're right underneath the surface of the water. And so they were having ships that had their hulls just ripped out, you know, on their way, and people drowning and all. So they came up with this ingenious thing, looking back at it, is they just said, hey, we need this mark. Now it's common, but we need to mark the channel with these floating buoys that have lights on them. And then all the seafarers need to do when they come in is just line the one up to the next one and stay on that track. And then they'll come into the harbor safe, and they won't have their lives wrecked, and they won't drown. And so that's what they did. And so these three lights, three of which are Mueller's, and this last one, is I added to it. You'll see why. The first one is God's word. Search his word. We've talked about that. What does he say about it? Because he might not say who to marry, but he says who not to. In the word of God, some of you didn't know that. Some of you are in trouble because of that. A Christian is not supposed to marry a non-Christian. That's God's word, not mine. And I've had people come to my office and go, but Pastor John, she's so hot. And I will win her to Jesus. Okay. Okay, you will. Search his word. Say, search his word. Next light, God's spirit. Seek his face through prayer. Say, through prayer. You seek God's face through prayer. And then God's doors. Seek his opportunities. Is there an opportunity? Is there an open door? Maybe it started this whole thing, this open door. And now you're like, whoa, is this God's will? And then God's people. This is the one I added. God's people seek their affirmation. And I added it because the Bible is full of it. So I don't know how George missed it. But it's, you know, that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. You get all these counselors. You need counselors around you who will speak truth to you. Some of you need to take a picture of that real quick. I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And too late. It'll come back. It'll come back. All right. It requires work, though. This isn't just something you know, pray. Now I lay me down to sleep and boom, a magic genie shows up and you know God's will. This takes work. This takes time. This takes blood, sweat, and tears sometimes. And most Christians know nothing of it. And that's why we make stupid decisions and get into stupid relationships and take stupid jobs. Because we haven't put the time in, or we didn't know how to, in the major decisions of our life. In that 10% that God doesn't say, this is this and that is that. And many start out wonderfully and end up shipwrecked because they've not learned to navigate the treacherous sea lanes of their own lives. Ephesians 5:17 has it this way. Direct my footsteps according to what? Say louder. Your word. Direct my footsteps according to your word. God typically doesn't show, like we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar next week. He shows hundreds of years into the future. But typically God shows enough light for the next step. You're like, well, John, what if he doesn't show enough light for my next step? What do I do? What do you do? Stop. Otherwise, you're going to fall somewhere until he gives you that light. Don't waste your life. Therefore, don't throw this up here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. All right. So light number one, what does God's word, the Bible, say? What does it say? Then light number two. All right, I jumped ahead. Sorry. Light number two, God's spirit. What does God's spirit say as I spend time with him in prayer? And let me go back to number one. All right, let me go back. All right, I preached this three times, so you have to forgive me. All right, light number one, God's word. What does God's word say? A lot of times, that's where you don't need to go to any further lights because God's word is clear. If you just get into the word of God, it's clear. Okay, yeah, don't do that. Well, this guy, oh, he's amazing, and he's hunky-hunky, and he's got six-pack abs, and he asked me to marry him. Is he a Christian? Well, I don't know. Well, don't be stupid. Don't marry him. And don't marry him just because he makes a profession so that he can take you to bed legally. Don't do it, girl. Don't do it. Right? I've seen that happen over and over and over again. So what does God's word, the Bible, say? Now, the Bible says we're supposed to work. All right? You're like, well, John, I got this job opportunity. I got this job opportunity. I'm just working over here flipping burgers, but I got this opportunity. What's your opportunity? I need to know if it's God's will. Okay, what's your opportunity? Well, this guy, he's going to position me on the corner over there by the school, and I'm going to sell crack cocaine during lunch hour. Let's see. No. No, multiple times, no. Don't do that. All right? So many times you don't have to go to the second light. The first light says, and. But if the first light doesn't say, and you got, okay, all right. You got some confirmation or you still got some questions, cool. Go to the second light. All right, now track with me. Light number two. Sorry, people in the back. Light number two, God's spirit. What does God's spirit say as I spend time with him in prayer? This is Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, cool, man, because I need a new ride. Well, he might give it to you if that's his will. He does sometimes, amen. But he might change your desires. That's what he's saying here. He will take the desires and he will give you his desires. The desires that we don't have. But his Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. I know what's better for you in your life than you do. You're about to blow up your life. I am going to change your life and I'm going to start giving you my desires. I never wanted to do this. I did not want to do this. Be a pastor, preacher? No. Had a pastor years ago that told my wife, and my wife, my mother, who is not my wife. I think John's going to be a pastor when he grows up. And my mom came home and said, Pastor, I forget which one it was, says that you're going to be a pastor. He sees you as a pastor. And I thought, dear, help me, Jesus, no. Don't want to be a pastor. I want to be like my dad. Navy and then farming. That's manly. Pastor ain't manly. Look at me now. Pastor. What did God do? He took my desires and just started. And I remember the day that I'm just like, for some reason, I'm kind of feeling attracted to being a pastor. What is that all about? So, that's God working. Light number three, God's open doors. God's open doors. But prayer, you need to spend time with him. Spend time with him. Talk to him and go, Lord, I am hard-headed. I need to know your will. God's open doors. What do current circumstances show? Is he opening the door? Maybe it's the door from Satan. You never know until you start checking it out. Revelation 3, what he opens, talk about God, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So God many times opens up a door just out of the blue. Boom, there's an open door. You're like, whoa, what was that? Didn't see that coming. Now I need to check it out. There's an open door. Is there an open door I ought to check out, or has a door slammed in my face that I was trying to kick down? So if you pray, young guys, you're praying about a certain lady, marrying a certain lady, and then you've had one date, didn't go well, but you're still praying, and you, I've been told by guys before, oh, Pastor, I know this is the one. I'm like, I don't see that. And, she's the one. And then she finally just has to tell you because you're kind of stalking her. Listen, I like you. I want to be friends. But if it comes to marriage, I wouldn't marry you if the last dude on earth. You know what that is, dude? That's called the closed door. That door is closed. Don't try kicking it down. But God can do it. Yeah, fine. Okay, keep praying if you want to. But I'm thinking, move on. So, first, you're like, well then, so you're saying if a door opens, then it's going to be smooth sailing, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be easy. No, not at all. Look at this. Paul's talking, he's doing the missionary work. He said, a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Because guess what? Satan's out there too. And he does not want you to walk through the door that God is opening. And so what will he typically do? Typically, you just don't walk through. It's like, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, yeah, this new job. Oh, no. Many times you'll have people trying to keep you from the open door. People maybe that think they have your best interest at heart. Maybe enemies of yours, but typically it's the people that are like, no. When I surrendered to preach, and Robin and I realized, okay, God was calling us into full-time ministry, not everybody in my extended family was happy. One of them was really ticked. And he did his best to talk us out of it. He tried me, he tried her by herself, then he tried me again, tried us together. And he was a believer, but he had seen the local pastor's wife go insane because of how that church was gossipy and whatever problems she had in her life, and she basically went insane. He'd seen another pastor almost starve in the same area over there in Portsmouth. And now he's seeing his little girl be maybe subjected to that. And he tried to talk us out of it. And we drove away to Bible college, and my wife went up to hug her daddy. And he said, just go, just go, just go. And we drove away crying. The reason he wouldn't hug her is because he's World War II generation, and he was about to cry. Now in heaven, I think he changed his mind. But then, he didn't want us to go through that door. There are many adversaries, some satanic and some in your own family. Light number four, God's people. What do other godly believers counsel? Godly believers. In the Acts passage here, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit, who? The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. I mean, these dudes were on staff there. That church was rocking and rolling. Woo! And they were having a good time, and the church was becoming a mega church. Woo! And then he said, I want two of your best people to leave and go to the work that I've called them. So then they're like, what, are you sure? They fasted and prayed some more. They placed their hands on them and sent them off. And you are sitting here in church at Point Harbor today because these dudes didn't stay in that church. But they brought the gospel to Europe. And Europe brought it to us, most of us. Praise the Lord for that. After they'd spent time in prayer, these people I'm talking about, you see an open door and you connect with somebody that you believe is spiritually mature. And you say, hey, I've got this opportunity. What do you think? Because you know me. I want you to tell me the truth. Here's a principle. Listen to people who love you and love God more than they love you. They love you and they love God more than they love you. So they'll tell you the hard truth. Don't go to your BFFs that's going to tell you what they think you want to hear. That'll ruin your life. You go to people that just be dead level honest and say, I don't see that. Let me show you how it works. You can take a picture of this, by the way, if you missed it last time. It starts with God's word, but coming, let's use illustration. When I was pastoring in Michigan, I'd been an associate pastor here before. I was up in Michigan for 5 years. God was doing cool things. We were having a revival, and the church had almost tripled in size, the little country church. And then I get this phone call. Hey, I'm resigning, the pastor I'd worked for. I'm resigning. I'd like to put your name in for lead pastor. And I'm like, oh my goodness. All of a sudden, boom, I have a big open door. Out of left field. Shocked me. And I knew my heart that this is the church that I trusted Christ because of. This is the church that I married my wife and met my wife in. This is the church that changed my life. This is a bigger area than up in the middle of, you know, a field. And so I knew I could choose John Houston's will and not the will of God. And so I went and I got away. There was something that happened and I had to be away anyway. So almost for a week, and I bought a brand new Bible and I just went through. And I knew most of the passages, but I went through every passage. And I went on, you know, on my Bible software program and found every time God moved his man, how did he do it? Search his word. And then I started praying, of course, praying right away. Seek his face. I'm like, God, you know me. And I could make a wrong decision here. The heart of man is wicked, you know, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So God, give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. And that door was wide, stinking open. And then I went to God's people, and the people I'm talking about, like Pastor Tom Tuttle and Pastor Dan, who had been here and were then pastoring other churches. And I said, hey, and they knew about this situation as well. And I said, do you see that? Do you see me as lead pastor there? I did music before, man. Do you see me there? And I went to other pastors who did not know the church but knew me. And I said, give me it straight. Give me it straight. If I make, and every man said, man, go for it. I see that. I see God setting this thing up. And then I continue to pray. And I told you recently, but I'll tell it again because it fits. I'm driving to Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is about 80 miles away from where the church was up there in the woods. And I wanted to go to the Christian bookstore and get this book by Warren Wiersbe that was autobiographical, which Warren Wiersbe, if you know him, he had a lot of different ministries. And so he moved. And I wanted to see every time he moved, you know, and because I really respected him. And so I bought the book, and I'm hungry, so I drive through the McDonald's drive-thru. And as I order my double quarter pounder Happy Meal, not Happy Meal, well, it's happy to me. As I order it, and I'm still praying. I got that book, so I'm trying to look at the book, and I'm going through the line, and I, you know, God, please show me. God, please show me. And I'm not a spooky person. You know I'm not. But I heard somehow in my spirit, it was almost like I heard it audibly, but it wasn't audibly, but it was inside. It was like, John, you know. You know. And you know me. I lost it. Start, oh, God. And drove up to the window. The lady looks out at me. Here's your double quarter pounder combo. Sir, I hope everything's all right. I drove away, praising Jesus. At the same time, almost the same exact time, Robin was out with a ladies' group, and they had gone to, they'd been to a different state. They'd all gone in a van, the church van, and they're coming back. And so it's Sunday morning by this time. They're coming back, and they, you know, you need to go to church. And so they pulled to this church, and all the ladies told me afterwards, Pastor John, it was boring. It was the most boring, man. We're like, man, why can't we be back at our home church with Pastor John? He's at least funny. And this guy was so boring. But Robin sat there on the edge of her seat just leaning in. Because the guy was preaching on Acts 13 about how God moves his people. And it was right to her. And she said, that's what I knew. Another one of my kids had a similar result. This is after a month of prayer. A month of saying, God, what is your will? God's word, start there. Sometimes he goes, no. Because you see it. But if he doesn't say no, you keep going. Praying the whole time. Is it an open door? If the door closes, then boom. If the door's still open, what do people that love God more than you say? And then, when you can see them lining up, you find the will of God. And I can look back 27 years as your lead pastor and say, I think I got this one right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. It's not because it's me. Because I'm messed up. Our God has a specific will for every pagan king and every personal kid. He's got a will for you. But he's not just going to hand it to you on a silver platter. He's given 9/10 of it right here. So discover it. And then that last 10th, he's given it to you where you line up the lights. So discover it. Is it about time you stop procrastinating or piddling and plotting? And started pressing toward the goal of whatever God has for your life. And yes, sometimes it's scary as mess, but it's amazing. I want you, my people, to, at the end of your race, realize you've run the right race, you've broke the tape, and you're hearing well done. Instead of God going, dude, that wasn't even the race I had for you. You wasted your life. Don't waste your life. God, we pray that you'll help us to be folks who are just more concerned about your will than ours. You taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray it, but many times we don't mean it. God, help us to mean it. Because in your will is joy. We find our purpose. We find what we're made for. We find the fit. God, help us to find that. And we will praise you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.